Hey Dada, why do some people sun tan and others sunburn?
That's a good question.
I don't understand.
This is the Understand Life podcast,
where we are helping you turn life into lessons.
I'm your host, Malachi Neiman, and with me today, I have
Alyssa Neiman
and
Leonard Neiman. Today, we are going to be talking about skin. This is a really complicated question. The extremely short answer is that we, as a civilization, are not 100% sure about all of the reasons and mechanisms and differences between one person and another, which cause some people to be more likely to tan than burn. But we do have quite a few different ideas, and even as recently as 2018, there was a significant study that found out a lot of information about this question. The whole answer boils down to two things. As do all things with the body, it's either our genes or our environment. We'll get to the environment near the end of the podcast. First, let's talk about different genes. But even before that, we need to talk about what a suntan even is. Do you know?
I believe that it takes your skin and it basically just gets darker.
Yes, your skin gets darker. And do you know how it does that?
Well, that's why I asked.
Okay. A suntan is made of melanin. Do you remember melanin?
Yep, of course.
In what episode did we talk about melanin?
Can babies be born with pink hair?
For our listeners that didn't hear that one, it's episode 12.
Yeah, go listen to it. And maybe even subscribe.
Episode 12 is one of my favorites. I'll put a link in the description. Spoiler alert, we're going to cover the highlights right now, so if you don't want to hear those because you're going to go back and listen to the whole episode, skip ahead about 60 seconds. Can a baby be born with pink hair?
Nope.
Why not?
Because there is no blue melanin.
Right, humans cannot produce blue melanin.
And you need blue melanin to create pink hair.
That would be correct. Do you remember in that episode, there were two different types of melanin that we talked about that humans produce? Do you remember what those are?
First and second melanin.
Okay, close. There were two different types. The one is pheomelanin, which is kind of like first melanin, I guess. And then eumelanin. Pheomelanin, eumelanin. Do you remember what colors they each produce?
Yellow?
Yeah, one of them produces yellow. Which one?
Pheomelanin.
Yeah, pheomelanin can produce yellow or, what was the other color?
Red.
Yep, yellow or red is done by pheomelanin. And eumelanin produces?
Black and brown.
Right. Good job. And with those colors, black, brown, red, and yellow, we get every possible natural hair color, right?
Yep.
We all have different genes, which end up indicating to our body how much of each melanin to produce.
Yeah, so like if someone has red hair, that means they have a lot of red melanin.
Right. There's more than just three genes. There's closer to about six that control hair color. But in the hair podcast, I discussed that we could think of there being three main continuums, which determine hair color. You just mentioned one of them. Pheomelanin can come in two types, right? Well,
yes.
What are those two types?
Yellow and red.
Yes. And so we have genes that control where on the spectrum we are and how much red versus yellow we produce.
Correct.
What are the other two continuums?
The ratio between
brown and black.
Yep. Between brown and black, that would be on the eumelanin side, right?
Yeah.
In eumelanin, whether you produce more black or more brown or, you know, where on that continuum, right?
Yeah.
And then what's the third continuum?
Third continuum is
the ratio between eumelanin and pheomelanin.
Yes, exactly. So those are the main three ratios we talked about in that episode. Now, I alluded to this when we did that episode on hair color, but melanin is not just in our hair. Where else do you think it is?
Skin.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I got it right. First try, too.
Yeah, well, we're talking about skin tanning and stuff.
I mean, I guess that makes sense, yeah.
And then anywhere else, something that different people have different colors. Skin, hair, and
eyes.
Yes. Melanin is used for pigmentation in all three of those.
Now, we all have a natural skin pigmentation, right?
Yep, that's correct. And how do you think that works?
I think pretty much the same as hair.
Yeah, very similar. What I'm going to call our base pigmentation works essentially the same way as hair coloring. Melanocytes, those are the cells that are in our skin which produce melanin, produce that melanin essentially the same way for our skin as our hair. Experts here would point out that there's some differences, but we're not going to get into that in this show. The production is essentially the same. The melanocytes produce the melanin, package it up into something called melanosomes, and then ship it to a nearby cell. If it gets to a hair follicle, then that melanin is used to color the hair, and if it gets to a keratinocyte, which is the technical term for what we think of when we say skin cells, then those skin cells will have that pigment. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah.
The melanocytes are located at the innermost part of what's called the epidermis. Have you ever heard that term before, epidermis?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know what it means?
Nope.
It's your skin, right?
Yeah, the epidermis is the outermost layer of your skin. Below that is called your dermis, which is also part of your skin. The melanocytes live right on the edge of the epidermis, just above what's called the basement membrane, which is what connects the epidermis to the dermis. We could have a whole podcast on how the skin works. In researching this one, I learned a lot of stuff, and I thought it was so fascinating. Suffice it to say that the epidermis is what we are mostly going to be talking about today, because that is where the melanin is at, and the layer of skin that is intended to protect your body from the sun. Melanin, specifically eumelanin, does protect your body from the sun's damaging UV rays. And what color is eumelanin again?
Brown and black.
Yep. And your skin naturally makes the kind and amount of eumelanin indicated in your genes. But your skin also has light receptors similar to those in your eyes, which trigger the melanocytes to increase their production of melanin. That increase in production starts in about 2 hours of being introduced to UV light, especially UVB light. We'll get into the differences in a minute. And then peaks about 6 or 8 hours after the UV light is removed, but is elevated for actually 24 to 28 hours.
And that's what causes a suntan, correct?
Yeah, that's right. That increased melanin makes the body more either black or brown, depending on the person's genes.
Sure.
Once that melanin is there, then it's able to protect the body by converting UV rays that hit the melanin into heat. Eumelanin is actually able to dissipate more than 99.9% of UV radiation that hits it and turn it into heat.
Does that mean once we have eumelanin in our skin as a suntan, then we can't get a sunburn?
No. First off, that still leaves a 0.1% chance that even if the UV radiation hits the melanin, that it won't be dissipated as heat appropriately. But also, it takes a lot of melanin in a cell to be sure that it will be the melanin that the UV radiation hits instead of something else. Other things in the cell don't handle the UV radiation quite as well. We haven't talked that much about how cells work before, but think of a cell as a large mixing bowl full of jello. There are a bunch of things that are inside that jello, which are all, you know, inside the cell, all of which are significantly smaller. When melanin is produced, it will also be in the cell somewhere, contained in a melanosome. Interestingly, exposure to UVA radiation causes faster tanning, but that tanning fades very quickly. And here's why. Exposure to the UVA radiation makes it so that the melanosomes in the human skin cells move that melanin to the periphery of the cell, the edge, closer to the top where it can protect us from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So in our visualization of a bowl full of jello, it would mean that it's now just inside the top of the jello, right? Does that make sense that it's there to protect us from the light that's coming in?
Yeah.
But once that UVA light goes away, then those melanosomes start to float around the cell more. And so they slowly fade in terms of visible coloring, right? Because they're not as directly right on the top layer.
Mm-hmm.
In that example, each melanosome is about the size of a quarter. So how many melanosomes would it take to line the whole top of the bowl?
A lot.
Yeah. And it's the same with our cells. We naturally have some amount of melanin all the time. When exposed to UV light, we produce more melanin, and the melanin we have rises to the surface. But that is usually not enough melanin to completely coat the outside layer of our skin with melanin, so some UV radiation does get through. When that UV radiation is not dissipated as heat, it can cause something to get damaged. And the most important thing that could possibly get damaged in the cell is the DNA. It is that same UV radiation which triggers an increase in melanin production that can damage your skin if exposed too much. And this damage is called a
sunburn.
Yeah. When the DNA in a cell gets damaged, then we actually have multiple processes with different enzymes inside the cell which are designed to detect these DNA issues and repair them. When this detection happens, though, the skin cells alert the rest of the body that something is wrong in the cell. This can attract immune cells from our blood to try to get to that area to attack whatever might be wrong, because our body doesn't know if the problem with the DNA was caused by UV radiation or a virus or something else. So it sends immune cells there because something is wrong.
Yeah.
It is this immune response which actually causes the redness, the swelling, etc. that we call sunburn.
Wait, so a sunburn is actually our own body overreacting to problems in our skin cells?
Yes, essentially. When a single issue in a single cell happens, our body's like, no big deal. But think of it from the body's point of view. If cell after cell after cell is getting DNA damaged and has to have work done on it to try and repair it, then wouldn't you be like, holy crap, something's going on. Send in the troops.
Sure. It sounds bad.
Right? So we send in that immune response because we don't know if this is being caused by radiation, UV rays, or if it's a virus or something else nefarious. Also, if too many errors are detected in a cell, then the cell stops trying to repair itself and instead starts to self-destruct in order to prevent the mutation that happened in the DNA from replicating. What really bad could happen if the cell doesn't self-destruct and keeps those DNA mistakes?
Skin cancer?
Yes, that's the worst possible outcome. Cancer is essentially a cell that somehow got messed up, but doesn't know that it's messed up, and so it keeps replicating and replicating, trying to do what it thinks it's supposed to do. That potential for cancer is exactly the reason why we have that self-destruct mechanism when there's too much damage in the cell. And this is the reason why sun exposure is the most likely cause of skin cancer.
With all this possibility, why doesn't our skin just always produce a bunch of melanin in case we might need it?
Great question. As a society, we haven't proven this yet either, but there are two theories which, taken together, are likely the reason. The first theory is it takes energy to make that melanin. Our bodies, in general, are designed to use only the amount of energy that we need and conserve the rest of it, so that if we miss a meal or three, then we won't be on our deathbed. So that's one theory as to why our bodies don't produce more melanin than we think that we'll need. The other one, which is generally considered to be more correct, in quotes, meaning it probably is the real reason, but we haven't been able to prove it, is the fact that our skin uses UV radiation to produce vitamin D. Our epidermal cells will intentionally absorb 7-dehydrocholesterol and essentially make that available to be irradiated by UV radiation, and this irradiation converts it into vitamin D. And our bodies need vitamin D in order to work properly. Therefore, we need to be able to get enough UV radiation into our skin cells, not blocked by melanin, in order to get enough vitamin D to be produced.
So, I think you're saying that if we have too much UV radiation in our cells, then they get damaged and they can't repair themselves. So we get a sunburn.
Yep.
But if we don't get enough UV radiation in our cells, then we'll be low on vitamin D. And that's bad, because it is.
Right, exactly. Therefore, what's the point of the melanin in our skin?
To regulate that. Our skin is constantly trying to balance having the right amount of melanin in order for us to get the right amount of UV radiation.
Yes, that's it.
Okay, great. So now I understand what's going on with suntanning and burning now. But that really doesn't answer the original question, which was, why do some people tan and others burn?
Thanks for getting me back on track. As mentioned at the top of the show, there's always some combination of genetics and the environment. In this case, it mostly has to do with genetics. And so far, we've been talking about the production of melanin, and there are a lot of genes that have to do with the production of melanin in our bodies. The main one is called the MC1R gene. This is kind of the main gene when it comes to melanin production in general, for both hair and skin, and actually, I didn't research eyes, but I think it is for that as well. It's believed to be the primary gene indicating what percentage of melanin produced is eumelanin versus pheomelanin.
Why is that so important when it comes to tanning?
Well, you may have missed this before, but what I said is that eumelanin is responsible for the protection from UV radiation. Pheomelanin is actually phototoxic. That means that when UV radiation hits pheomelanin in our skin, it's more likely to create a reactive oxygen molecule than if the UV radiation had hit DNA directly. Those oxygen molecules that are reactive are what then damage the DNA indirectly. What the MC1R gene does is regulate how much eumelanin we are making, and that is highly important for how much eumelanin is produced in order for us to tan, or in general.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of other genes that have been found and identified that have to do with melanin production or tanning. The ASIP, A-S-I-P gene. As far as we can tell, this seems to act as a modifier to the MC1R gene, and it can down-modify the amount of eumelanin that's produced.
What does down-modify mean, then?
Down-modify means if the MC1R says that we produce 60% eumelanin and 40% pheomelanin, that the ASIP might say That's nice. I'm actually going to make it so that most of the time, you're only producing half of that amount of eumelanin. And so instead of being 60-40, it actually becomes 30-70. That would be a down modification.
Okay, that makes sense.
As far as we can tell, the ACIP is only able to do that down modification as opposed to an up modification. It can't say, okay, make more eumelanin.
Okay, so it regulates, but only if one is making too much.
Too much eumelanin, and it causes our bodies to create more pheomelanin.
Okay.
Another gene that's important is the OCA2 gene. This creates what's called the P protein, which is somehow connected to melanin. We know that for sure, but we're not sure exactly why. But it seems to be that it helps the melanin get to the cells that it needs to. It seems to be that without the P protein, our bodies still produce melanin, but that melanin never gets into the keratinocytes, you know, the main skin cells. And so actually, an abnormality in the OCA2 gene, which causes people to not have P protein at all, is actually one of the causes of being an albino. Do you know what albino is?
It means what? You have white hair and really light skin.
Yeah, why? Because you don't have
melanin.
Yes. And so OCA2, specifically, your body does produce melanin, but without that P protein, the melanin can't seem to get where it's supposed to go.
Mm-hmm. And like albino bats and albino cats and dogs are really cute.
There's another gene called the TYR gene, and it is involved in the first step of melanin production. Essentially, it can control the total amount of melanin that our body is able to create. So if we are creating less melanin total, then what would that mean to our response to UV radiation? What do you think? Let's say we had a TYR gene. Let's go the other way. TYR made it so that we could make a whole lot of melanin really quickly. When our body sees UV radiation, what would it be able to do?
You can make all the melanin and be fine.
And ship it to our skin really quickly, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And so if we did that, then would we be more likely to tan or burn?
Tan.
Yeah, because we'd have more melanin to protect us, right?
Yep.
The TYR gene seems to be involved with our ability to tan versus burn because of that. It regulates the total amount of melanin production. Another really interesting one, which was just identified recently, is the IRF4. This actually has nothing to do with melanin, but it does have to do with tanning versus burning. The IRF4 is central to our adaptive immune responses. How do you think that would affect tanning versus burning? Do you remember what I said before about what a sunburn really is?
No.
Okay. A sunburn is your immune system's response to all those cells getting damaged. If the IRF4 has to do with adaptive immune responses, in other words, your ability for your immune system to adapt to different circumstances better, well, what's actually causing the sunburn?
Your immune system overreacting.
Yes. If you had a really smart IRF4 gene that was better at adapting,
then you would tan because your immune system would not overreact as easily.
Yes, exactly. Another really important one is
freckles.
Yes. There's multiple genes that have to do with freckling. One is, again, the one that I mentioned before, the MC1R. There's a lot of stuff in that gene that has to do with freckling. But more than likely, the bigger one when it comes to freckling is the BNC2 gene. And so how does freckling affect burning versus tanning?
It makes part of your skin darker?
Yeah.
This is my guess. I don't know.
So why do we get sunburns again? It's a lack of
melanin.
Yes.
And since people with freckles, such as myself, if they had more melanin on their face because they had freckles instead of on their arm, then they would more easily get burned on their arm because they didn't have as much melanin there.
It's not exactly that. It's actually right in the same area. So if you take a small patch of skin, when your melanocytes react and go, ooh, I need to produce more melanin, they produce more melanin, but where does that melanin go? Does it get dispersed evenly amongst the cells?
No,
it ends up getting concentrated in one spot, which means what happens to the other cells that didn't get the melanin?
They get more sunburned.
Yes, they're more vulnerable still, and so they end up getting
burned.
I mentioned before that there was a study back in 2018, which is relatively recent, that identified some new genes that were associated with tanning and burning. One of those was the CYP1B1 gene, which is a gene for creating an enzyme that deals with correcting an oxygen atom that has bound with another molecule inside of our body. Based on what I had said before, do you remember how that's involved with tanning or burning at all?
No.
No? Okay. So maybe I didn't explain this super clearly because I kind of brushed over it a little bit. When UV rays hit our cells and don't hit melanin, they hit something else that isn't DNA, the most likely problem is for that other thing to have so much energy that it essentially breaks down molecularly and spits off an oxygen atom that doesn't have enough electrons. So it's a charged oxygen atom. That oxygen atom then goes and binds with something else in the molecule because it doesn't like to be charged.
Yeah.
And if that happens where it does that with DNA, it can alter the DNA. This gene is responsible for creating an enzyme that deals with that alteration. And so exactly how your genes are designed to be able to deal with that alteration will change whether or not you're more likely to burn or not, because it probably has to do with how much and how quickly you can utilize that enzyme to correct the problem in the DNA. Because what did I say before? When does the cell start to really have a problem?
When it has too much of those DNA problems that they just give up.
Once they have too much and they give up, then what process do they start, the cell?
It starts to grow more and more bad cells.
Well, hopefully not. No, that could happen. If that does happen, then that's what?
Cancer.
Yeah, and that's really bad. But normally, 99 point whatever percent of the time, it won't start into cancer because instead the cell does what?
Self-destructs.
Exactly. So this CYP1B1 gene that helps for creating an enzyme to deal with that could make it so that the cell can deal with those DNA things.
More quickly.
Right. If it can do it quickly enough, then it won't.
Self-destruct.
Exactly. Next, PPARGC1B has to do with the regulation of energy expenditure in general, that includes energy regulation by the melanocytes. That gene can limit or increase the amount of energy that a melanocyte can use. How would that affect tanning or burning?
If it can use more energy, then it can make more melanin, which means it would make it less probable for you to burn.
Yes. The next one, which this one I know was a new one they identified, was the AHR gene, and this deals with doing transcription of DNA. Again, creating some enzyme that does that transcription. Remember, when does the cell self-destruct?
When the cell was damaged, but it didn't get fixed.
Yeah, it couldn't get fixed fast enough. So if the AHR is involved with an enzyme that helps for transcription, do you know what transcription means? It means to transcribe. That means essentially copying from one place to another. How do you think DNA gets fixed, in quotes?
By copying?
Yeah, by copying what?
The good parts?
Yeah, the good part to?
The bad part?
To the bad part. It fixes it. If this enzyme deals with that fixing process, then how is that related again to the sunburn and suntan? Say there's a gene that makes it so you make more of this enzyme.
You would tan, right? Because it can fix it more quickly.
Another one that had not previously been associated with melanin at all is the AGR3 gene. But it was known to be tied to your general likelihood of cancer. Burning means that your cells are getting damaged too much, right?
Yes.
There's a very small chance every time it gets damaged that what happens?
You get cancer.
Yeah. We don't really know why, but AGR3 is correlated with people getting cancer more often, which probably means that for some reason your body isn't self-destructing as much as it should.
Yeah.
Or is just gets damaged more easily, maybe. And so let's go with that one. If something about this gene makes it so that your body is more likely for your DNA to get damaged, then which would that mean? More likely to tan or more likely to burn?
More likely to burn.
Yeah, because that's what happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then finally, there is a TRPS1 gene, which is considered a transcription gene as well. But this one, it has known for a while that it's involved with the turning on and off of other genes. So we've talked about this a little bit before, that our bodies adapt to the environment that we are in. And it does that by turning on and off genes that we have available to us. So this TRPS1 gene is potentially involved with regulating some or many of the other genes that we've talked about. So if this gene can say, okay, you know, we're going to use this information, we're not going to use that information from some of these other genes, then the study found that that one can influence your actual burning and tanning, likely because it's influencing how some of those other genes that we've talked about work.
Like it can say we're going to use this one that adds melanin when you need it.
Right. Or like the PPARGC1B that I talked about, which is the energy expenditure of the melanocytes. I don't know for sure if TRPS1 actually regulates that, but if it did, let's say it could change then the energy as well. It could essentially say, oh, you know, that gene says to do this, but a different gene indicates that, you know, there should be less energy. I'm going to go that direction. Then what would happen?
One wants to make more melanin, but the other one wants to not make more melanin. And your PS1 would choose which path to go.
Yeah, exactly. And so then it ends up having a big effect, right?
Yeah.
Or at least some effect. One other thing that I wanted to talk about in the podcast, I couldn't find a ton of information about genetic differences for this, but I know that there is a difference based on our sweat response. Why is that the case? So what is sweat?
It's your body's way of cooling yourself down.
Yes. But when I sweat, it is literally, like, what is sweat made out of? Mostly it's made of...
water.
Yeah. There's also a little bit of sodium chloride, salt, but it's mostly water. What happens when a UV ray hits water? Do you know?
It evaporates.
The water evaporates?
Yes.
Maybe, but what happens to the UV ray?
It reflects.
Yes, some of it reflects. Not all of it, but water can reflect up to 80% of UV rays.
Yep. So that's why when you're swimming, then you need to wear sunscreen.
Yeah, so that means you need to be careful when you're around water like that, because you can get UV rays from on top and from on bottom when it's reflecting off the water, right? But the sweat on your skin can also act as a form of sunblock. It will reflect some of the UV radiation. Does everybody sweat the same?
No.
No. Some people sweat more?
Yes, definitely.
And some people don't sweat as much, right? Mm-hmm. And so the more you sweat in a given situation, that's going to make it, what, more likely for you to...
suntan.
That's mostly probably why I tan.
Okay, so that covers all the genetic stuff, and now we were starting to get into environment, because the more that you're sweating, that has to do with your environment, right? If you're hot, but certain individuals sweat at a different temperature than other people, so it's also maybe genetic or at least individualized, but there's the environment that comes into account there. Another thing is that our skin can get damaged, right? Have you heard of, like, first-degree burns, second-degree burns?
Yes. Yep.
Do you know what that means?
No.
So I mentioned before that there's the epidermis, and then there's this basement membrane, and then the dermis. Do you remember that? Okay. A first-degree burn means that you're only affecting the epidermis, that top part. A second-degree burn means that the burning part has affected the dermis underneath the epidermis. Third-degree burns means that the heat or whatever's caused the burn has gone through the dermis and into what's underneath your skin. Essentially, your skin is made up of your dermis and your epidermis, and then underneath that is the rest of your body. And so third-degree burns means you just burned off all your skin, essentially, in that location, or at least you've affected your skin there. Now, if you burn yourself on a stove, you can get third-degree burns and you burn away all of your skin. That sounds really painful, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Sunburns never get to be third-degree burns.
Ever?
There's no documented cases. Doesn't mean it's not possible, but most sunburns are first-degree burns. You get redness, right? We talked about that it's an immune response, but it's just really only affected that top epidermal layer. But have you ever had a sunburn where it puffs up, it swells?
Yes.
So that happens when the UV radiation has started to affect your dermis, your second layer of skin.
So
that is a second-degree burn. Well, guess what? What is right at the bottom of your epidermis, in between the epidermis and the dermis? Well, right between those two is called the basement membrane. But then what have we been talking about mostly this podcast?
Melanin.
And what makes melanin?
Melanocytes.
Yes, that's it. Melanocytes. Melanocytes, however you pronounce it.
Melanocytes.
Yeah. Those melanocytes are on the epidermal side of the basement membrane. So that means if you get a second degree burn, you know that UV radiation has passed through your epidermis and got into your dermis, and that means that it can also affect your melanocytes. They can get damaged. So once you get a second degree burn somewhere, it makes it less likely for those melanocytes to be able to produce enough melanin next time to protect you from a burn again. Now, it may not have done any damage, doesn't always do damage, but it can. And so you really want to avoid having second degree sunburns.
I mean, you kind of just want to avoid having sunburns in general.
But especially you want to avoid those second-degree sunburns because it actually can produce semi-permanent damage to your skin.
Okay.
Recap. In your own words, what do you remember? What have you learned from this podcast?
I learned basically that if cells get damaged because of UV rays and cannot fix themselves quickly enough, then they will self-destruct. And if they do not self-destruct, then that is bad and it can cause cancer.
That's
because
true.
Because they will reproduce and think that they're doing their job when they're really not. Also, some genes can help fix the cells more quickly.
Yeah, fix the DNA?
Yeah.
Yep. And what are some other things that might happen in the body that affect whether or not you suntan versus sunburn?
How quickly melanocytes can produce melanin.
Yep. There are certain genes that make it so that it would be faster. That would do it. Yep. What about your genes that just determine your melanin altogether, right?
Yeah.
Like the ASIP1 or something like that.
Yeah, remember there was the MC1R, I think that was it, which is like the main melanin gene, which determines what?
Eumelanin versus pheomelanin.
And why is that important?
Because if you have black melanin, then it'll attract more sunlight.
Yeah, convert more UV radiation to heat.
Yes.
Yeah, black is the best. What's next?
Brown.
Yep.
Then yellow.
Both yellow and red are phototoxic, remember? So it's bad, actually. And people that are Caucasian, what color melanin do we mostly have in our skin?
Yellow.
So because of that, when we need to be protected from UV radiation, what do we need to make? More?
Melanin.
More?
Eumelanin.
Yes, eumelanin, right? Less pheomelanin, more eumelanin means more protection from UV radiation.
Yep.
Amen.
Why is it sometimes better to be darker and sometimes better to be lighter?
Because we don't always have enough vitamin D.
Yeah, and so our body is trying to create enough melanin to balance what?
UV ray damage to our vitamin D.
Yes, and how do they do that?
By making more melanin?
Yes, specifically.
Eumelanin.
Yes, UV rays are protected by eumelanin.
Yes.
And so the big difference between people is around how much eumelanin you make, how quickly your body adapts to it, and especially if it's going to be freckled or consistent or things like that.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yep.
More than enough?
Yep. Yes. Way more than enough.
Okay.
We hope you learned something this week, because the more you know,
the more you grow.
Malachi.
Alyssa.
And Leonard.
Out.
Thanks for listening. We've already had people ask what they can do to help us. Right now, the number one thing we need is listeners. So that means having you continue to listen, which I hope you just want to do because you liked it, and telling others about the podcast. That is what we want most of all.
But if you're looking to help us out financially, that would be really, really awesome. You can do that by becoming our patron at Patreon. For those of you who hadn't heard of Patreon, it's a website that helps us, as creators, to engage with our supporters and receive your financial support. You can get there by going to patreon.com/understandlife. That's patreon.com/ understand life. Thank you so much for your support.
Also, if you're telling people about the podcast and they don't know how to listen to podcasts, you can have them go to our new website, understandlifepodcast.com. That will redirect them to our old website, which is leonardneeman.com/podcast. Anyone can listen to the episodes there, and we'll let you know other ways to listen too.
Hi, this is the Understand Life Podcast,
where we are helping you turn life into lessons.
I'm your host, Malachi Neeman, and with me today I have
Alyssa Neeman
and
Leonard Neeman.
And today we're going to be talking about skin. This is a really complicated question.
Okay, you can't both ask the question and answer the question.
Well, how about you ask the question then?
Okay.
Come on.
What? That's good. You guys can talk all the time.
Sorry, it was funny because he's like, it sounds bad.
With all this possibility, why doesn't our skin just always produce a ton of melanin? It takes your skin and it basically just gets darker.
Yeah, My son gets darker. My son's skin gets darker.
Yeah.
Say something.
What do you mean?
Okay, never mind. I was trying to make it.
You're like, this would do this, this would do something, but this would do something. What would happen?
I don't know. Say something, whatever. Sunburns never get to be third degree burns.
Ever?
No, there's no documented cases. Doesn't mean it's not possible, but
No,
we're not going to try and make that happen. That's bad. In your own words, what do you remember? What have you learned from this podcast?
That there are tons of genes, but some of them do well, and some of them don't do well, but that's okay.
When we need to be protected from UV radiation, what do we need to make? More?
Melanin.
More?
Black melanin.
Yeah, not necessarily black, but...
Brown.
Black or brown.
Yellow.
You.
Understand why.